You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Hi, and welcome to The Family Pet on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Colleen Safford. Today is our first episode of The Family Pet. Last session, we did a little intro and told you what you can expect as our listener from each one of our episodes. So I'm going to give you a little recap. My name is Colleen Safford, and I am the menagerie manager to two toddler children, a boxer, a kitty cat that adopted us, chickens, and a sweet but stubborn and totally untrainable husband. The reason that we've created The Family Pet is so that we can bring education and that we can raise awareness to provide tips and advice on how to create a safe and harmonious household for everyone involved. My top priority is to keep pets and children living safely in the household. So we want to see that 8 to 10 million number of cats and dogs that are relinquished to shelters each year decrease. How can we do this? Dun, 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 dun. Introducing our topic for the day, appropriate pet selection. Really, that is, you know, when we talk about pet selection, that's the decision-making process and the research phase that it takes to kind of make an informed and logical decision before bringing a furry family member into your existing clan. Or maybe it's not a furry family member, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Is your house right for a goldfish, a kitty cat, a hamster, an iguana, or that leaping and bounding lab puppy? And that's what we will discuss. In order to make this decision, we need to get a little bit sniffy and snoopy and dive into your lifestyle a little bit to figure out how much time you have to commit to a pet, how much you're looking to do on a day-to-day basis in terms of grooming and training, feeding, and just giving exercise and love and attention. We need to talk about budget. Not all kitty cats and doggies and menagerie kind of family members come with the same expense account each month, and we need to figure out what you're comfortable with and what you can manage reasonably. So first, a few words from our sponsors. But stay, and we'll be right back. Thanks for listening.
Sit, stay. We'll be right back after a short pause.
It's time for school for you and your friends, your furry best friends. Train your dog the fun and easy way with Teacher's Pet Sessions. Teacher's Pet host Pia Silvani teaches you step by step how to train your dog the fun and easy way. You get 8 30-minute live audio training sessions, complete transcripts of each session, plus a basic training manual to get you and your dog off to a great start. Training begins the moment you bring your dog home. Teacher's Pet Sessions offers positive reinforcement training to shape your dog's behavior and encourages upbeat, enthusiastic responses to ensure that your dog will enjoy learning. Teacher's Pet Sessions dog training is fun at both ends of the leash. So listen, learn, and laugh with your dog with Teacher's Pet Sessions. Get your copy of Teacher's Pet Sessions Volume 1 today. To order, go to teacherspetsessions.com.
Hi, this is Pia Silvani, your host. Bring your dog, tug toy, and treats, and get ready to have some fun.
teacherspetsessions.com.
New York, the glitz, the glamour, the exciting Mutt-tropolis, the sparkling kitty city that never sleeps. Join us each week for Pets in the City with your host, Diane West. Celebrity pet sightings, hot events, and news and reviews with the hottest movers, shakers, and tail waggers in New York. So take a bite out of the Big Apple with Pets in the City every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Family Pet on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Colleen Safford. I'm still here. So, very exciting and thrilling time, the pet selection time. You and your family are considering expanding in the pet way, and we are going to dive in to take a look to figure out what is the right pet for you. If there's any one thing that I've learned as a dog trainer, this decision is not one that should be taken lightly. I cannot tell you how many times, and I'm always still shocked, which is kind of funny. After doing this for 10 years, I'm still shocked when I walk into a lesson and I have, you know, a very cute all-American family staring at me going, "Colleen, we're that family. We're the ones. We did it. We never thought we would be that family." It's the family that goes in, they're strolling on a Sunday afternoon down a city street in Manhattan, and suddenly those sparkling little eyes of a puppy pull them into the pet store. All logic flies out the window or stays at the curb where the poopy parcel should go, and boom, a puppy is brought home. No, all logic. I mean, what is it about those puppies that can make us just not think and to just take on an 8 to 20 year life commitment and taking responsibility and liability for this little living being? So that's exactly how we shouldn't bring a pet into our family. This is something we need to take seriously. When you think about it, how much research did you do before you bought your iPod or your car or your vacuum cleaner or even your blender? It's to me amazing that we'll do 6 hours of research, you know, before we purchase something that's going to make smoothies, but we do zero research and we splash out on a puppy and bring this living creature into our home without giving it a second thought. The power of a puppy. So we're not going to do that. We're not going to buy it from a pet store, but we're going to figure out how to bring the right pet into your family. First thing we need to do is to look at your household and who makes up your family. We need to look at the ages of everyone, and we need to look at the needs of everyone. Do you have a baby? Do you have children? Teenagers? Do you have an elderly individual living in your house or anyone with special needs? These are all very important things to consider. Babies, they are clumsy little monsters. I have two of them myself. I feel like I can say that. But they are sweet little well-intentioned kids who just do not have motor skills to handle pets appropriately. So we need to consider first and foremost the handling skills of people in your house. And if those that are in your house do not have developed motor skills enough to handle a pet safely, then you need to think about the responsibility as a parent that you'll be taking on to create a safe management system. Meaning, kids and babies cannot be left in a house or in a room or even turning your back on them when there's a dog in the house. So that's something to consider. Kids and teenagers have a ridiculous schedule and a crazy social life, which means your house turns into a revolving door. So in terms of thinking about liability, which, you know, I hate thinking that way, but that's the reality of the world that we live in. We really need to think about an animal, being fair to an animal and bringing it and exposing it to numerous people day in and day out. And it's, of course, you know, Larry Labrador loves to meet more people, but you need to do things to make sure that Larry Labrador is comfortable with the revolving door of teenagers that will be coming in and out. Elderly individuals, if you have someone in your house that has fragile skin or is easily knocked over, you know, maybe that leaping, bounding, goofy, gregarious Great Dane puppy is not the right match for your family at this time. Another thing, allergies. Allergies are on the rise, and there's a lot of children and people that are affected by allergies. If someone in your house has an allergic reaction to cats, bunnies, doggies, we need to take, and I know it's a hard decision, but we need to scratch those cute furry members off of your list of possibilities. I've had numerous people who have bought the quote-unquote hypoallergenic breeds, and they've still had allergic reactions. And it's very heartbreaking for someone who, you know, really has their mindset that this is going to work. They bring an animal into their house thinking that, you know, it's hypoallergenic, and then 3 months later, they realize it doesn't work out. So don't fall for the misnomer that breeds are hypoallergenic. It's there definitely, there's a reduction in the reaction that someone might have, but do not think that that's a guarantee. So erring on the side of caution, I would scratch whatever it is that someone in your family has an allergic reaction off your list. Next, we need to think about your lifestyle. If you are the typical all-American family, it's highly likely that you meet at the breakfast table, you gobble down your breakfast, and you dart in different directions for the rest of the day. You come home, meet at the dinner table, maybe, give yourself goodnight kisses, and boom, day's over. So how much time do you have to commit to a pet? That's one of the most important things when making this decision is daily training, daily feeding, daily outings, daily grooming. A goldfish, that little guy who's blowing bubbles in that tank and requires a few flakes of food daily, is a lot less maintenance than that goofy, gregarious, bounding Great Dane puppy that I mentioned. A puppy, a 6 to 8 week old puppy, is going to need anywhere from 8 to potentially 12 outings a day. So you have to consider who has the time to make that work successfully. Training. Socialization and training happens right away. The second that a puppy lands on your doorstep is the second that you start training. Socialization needs to happen in the first 16 weeks of life. So when that puppy arrives at your doorstep, you need to have your training gear ready to go and your training plan mapped out. Grooming. I am the lucky mama of a boxer. And that means I do a towel wipe down maybe every 3 months. Little doggies that I board, though, and take care of, I have a golden doodle that stayed here last week. She's got that beautiful, puffy, fluffy puppy coat. I was grooming her 3 times a day, and I still could not keep up with the matting. It was insane. So, in all honesty, I would not have time to bring a puppy with that coat into my current lifestyle. Between my 2 toddlers, the cats, my other menagerie, I just can't sit down and do 3 20-minute grooming sessions a day on top of the training and on top of the feeding and exercising that this puppy also requires. She's cute as can be, but a little bit fluffy for me. Exercise, same thing. That goldfish is a self-exerciser. He's got a treadmill built in that little tank of his, and he goes around and around and around in circles, and voila, he is exercised. The leaping, bounding Great Dane, he is going to require a good 30 minutes to 1 hour of leg stretching daily. I am not talking about leash him up and walk him for 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes in the afternoon, and 10 minutes in the evening. I am talking about good heart pumping, real exercise. So who in your family has the time to cut out to do that every day? Training. I mentioned that socialization needs to happen within the first 16 weeks of life, but training is something that takes with puppies. It can take the first 2 years of life, and then you kind of go into maintenance mode. Particularly if you have a giant breed puppy or a large lab, and I'm not saying that our small dogs should be getting away with more than our large dogs. Us trainers call that small dog syndrome, and training a small dog is just as important as training a large dog, but you might have the teensiest advantage on your side in that the size of that dog is not as quickly growing and changing, meaning you have a puppy delivered at your door. A Great Dane puppy is delivered at 6 weeks and he weighs 12 pounds. At 16 weeks, he weighs 40 pounds. So time is not on your side. You need to be on it. And like I said, you need to have your training gear on the second that puppy hits your door. So these are all things that take time. Who in your family has the time for a puppy? If not a puppy, and you realize that that's too much of a commitment right now for your current lifestyle, then we need to think of something else. Kitty cats are wonderful. They also require management when we're talking about being with children. Any pet really requires management, of course, when being with children. Cats and dogs, usually more likely because of their claws and teeth. A goldfish, of course, needs management because you can't knock over a goldfish bowl. And the same thing with hamsters. Hamsters are very likely to kind of scoot off and get lost in heating radiators under couches, and we need to be really careful with them, with children as well. So lifestyle, we've covered who's in your family, and we've covered lifestyle. Now let's talk about the not-so-friendly thing, money. That goldfish, I should name the goldfish. Gary the goldfish costs about $3 a month to support. Danny the Dane costs about $150 a month to support, given the food that each of these animals eats. So you've got Danny the Dane, who's eating 6 cups of food a day, and you've got a few flakes on the other side. The other thing to consider is not all dog breeds are bred with the same health history as others. Our English Bulldogs are probably the worst investment that you might possibly make when purchasing a pet. Love them dearly. Their little smushy faces, grunts and all. But they are riddled with health problems. Anything from cherry eye to joint problems. Honestly, I love him to death, Oats, a dog that we board on a frequent basis. When I asked for his vet records, I am not exaggerating when I tell you it was a folder, a manila folder, that was 4 inches high. Oates goes to the vet at least every other week. He gets skin infections. He had double cherry eye. He had an operation on his knee. He is a beautiful, lovely bulldog, but he's equipped like a bulldog and riddled with health problems. So, a nod to Oates and the budget that Oates requires. You know, the goldfish might be a more sensible decision, or a kitty cat might be a more sensible decision right now if you have a family and you're worried about making ends meet, you're worried about college education savings. Really consider what you have on a month-to-month basis to support a pet. The other thing that you need to consider is the services and those outliers. So you, on a minimum, you know that you're going to pay for vaccinations, you're going to pay for training, you're going to pay for the day-to-day food and care. But when taking on a pet, you're also taking on 8 to 20 years of services. Every time you go on vacation, your dog or cat is going to need care. Your goldfish, someone's going to have to come in to feed that little guy. So consider what you want to spend in services each year on your pet. In New York City, boarding for a dog is around $65 per day. A cat visit in New York City, for a half hour cat visit to someone's home, it's about $20 for a half hour. So this is something to consider. You know, people, as someone who offers these services, people come to me and say, oh, we got a second dog, can you give us a discount? And I'm like airing my laundry here on air. But I always think to myself, like, you know, you decided to bring this pet into your family. And if you couldn't really afford the services and the care required, then potentially it wasn't the best decision making. So off my little soapbox, on to the next thing. How are you going to acquire your pet? That's a very exciting question. I am very pro adoption and rescue, but I also know that there are pet stores out there and breeders out there. There's one thing that you're not going to do, and that is to purchase a pet from a pet store, and we'll tell you why when we come back to The Family Pet on Pet Life Radio. So again, I need you to sit and stay, and we'll be right back.
Sit, stay. We'll be right back after a short pause.
Greetings, human. What planet am I on?
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent.
Pet Planet magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at petplanetmagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in Paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No. to my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
When you're looking to add a pet into your life, consider adopting a homeless animal from your local shelter or rescue group. Whether you want a kitten, puppy, or a more mature pet, a purebred or a one-of-a-kind mixed breed, even a rabbit or hamster, your shelter has the best selection of animals anywhere, all screened for good health and behavior. PetLifeRadio.com presents Take Me Home with your host, Susan Daffron. Join us each week as we showcase wonderful pets, tell stories, and even throw some pet education into the mix. So get ready to find out why the pet adoption option can be a great way to add a furry companion into your life. Take Me Home every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Family Pet. All right, very big and exciting day. We have just discussed your lifestyle, your family, your budget, and now you kind of have a good idea of what might be the right pet for you. So whether you're thinking about Gary the Goldfish or Danny the Dane or Clarissa the Kitty, we just brought her in. Now we need to talk to you about how you might research acquiring your pet. As I've mentioned, I'm a big supporter of adoption and rescue. This is my first preference. As I mentioned earlier, there's 8 to 10 million cats and dogs that are relinquished to shelters each year. These are very adoptable, loving, caring pets. Oftentimes what happens is people have life changes, which is why we're talking about pet selection today. People bring a pet into their home without thinking, and then someone has allergies. People bring a pet into their home, even though their home is a rental and they're not allowed to have pets, and oops, landlord catches on and the animal winds up in a shelter. Other times, people move. People move and they just simply say, oh, I found a new apartment that doesn't allow pets. Or, oh, I'm moving and I don't want to take my cat or dog across country. And that dog winds up in a shelter. So there are numerous cats and dogs that wind up in shelters each year that are very adoptable. It's kind of a fallacy that, you know, the cats and dogs that are in shelters are those who have been abused and they have problems. It's not the case. Oftentimes what it boils down to is just a lack of appropriate pet selection in their first home or a lack of training. People have an 18-month-old dog and they didn't take the time to house train it, and now they're frustrated at their wit's end and they just relinquish the pet. So an 18-month-old doggy is as easy to house train as a puppy if you do the right thing from the second that it lands on your doorstep. It might have some history and a couple of, you know, habits to break, but when you compare it to a puppy who doesn't have any physical bladder control and also doesn't have any idea of where to potty, you're kind of really looking at the same level of project and commitment. So don't shy away from those cats, dogs, bunnies, pigs, goats, and everything that wind up in shelters. How do you find the right shelter? You need to do research. When going into a shelter, does it seem calm and relaxing? That's very, very important. You want to find an environment where the dog or cat is not completely stressed out. You want to find out if they do temperament testing, how much exercise the cats and dogs and how much socializing the cats and dogs are getting on a daily basis while they're in there. Those are all very important things. You also want to find out if they have an outreach program or an awareness program where when you take that animal into your house, you want to know that there's resources available to you as a new pet owner, if they have training, if they have a hotline that you can call, if there's something that's going on with your pet and you need kind of some light advice on. So those are things to consider when going the shelter route or the rescue route. If you have a kitty cat or a dog in mind and you think to yourself, I want a Siamese cat, I guarantee you if you look up on Google Siamese cat rescue, you will find a number of cats that are available for adoption. The same thing, you grew up with a Cocker Spaniel and you want a Cocker Spaniel again. Research online Cocker Spaniel rescue and you will find numerous outlets to start finding that little cocker that's right for you. So do not shy away from cats and dogs that are in shelters. The other thing to consider about adopting an adult dog, if you have children, I often say with adult dogs, what you see is what you get. Puppies are ever changing and developing. Their personalities are setting. Whereas with a adult dog, you kind of can see the temperament that this dog has. It's developed, it's a little bit more settled, and it's a little bit more predictable. So if you have a shelter that's done a very good temperament test and can kind of give you some information about the dog, that's my preference. For busy families, I prefer to see them adopt an adult dog because of the time that goes into a puppy. Not that the time doesn't go into an adult dog, but a puppy is a whole different level of commitment in the first kind of 6 months to 2 years of life. So again, don't hesitate to kind of consider adult dogs that are in shelters. Number two preference, I guess, would be a breeder. You know, it's important to recognize people come and say, I have this dog. He came from the most reputable breeder. His uncle was in Westminster. And that's like saying because a Harvard rocket scientist and a Yale law student married that they are going to produce, you know, Einstein offspring. It just doesn't happen. We're talking about genetics. And while it's important that breeders consider genetics and temperament while they're breeding, it is not a guarantee. It's just natural wiring. And, you know, parents out there would say, my first child is this, and I can't believe how different he is from my second child who is like this. So, yes, good breeder is important. A good breeder will not be breeding multiple breeds of puppies. They will be focusing in on one breed. They will allow you to see the mom and dad. They will allow you to visit the premises. They will encourage you to visit the premises, and they will interview you as a family. A good breeder wants to know exactly where their kitty cat or their dog are going. They will also make you sign a contract that says, if this does not work out, you will return the pet to them. So that's what to look for in a good breeder. And I'm going to dedicate an entire episode to good breeders and good shelters. But this is just to kind of get your thoughts going in terms of appropriate pet selection. Last but not least, the option that you will not do, and the first thing that I mentioned in the beginning of this episode, is a pet store. There are tons and tons and tons of reasons why you will not support or buy a pet from a pet store, but the number one being is that it's cruel. I know that people want to go in and save that particular puppy, and I understand that as a dog lover myself. But by saving that one puppy, what you're doing is supporting a horrific industry. An industry that keeps the mom and the dad breeding stock in cages, never to roam freely, never to kind of even feel human touch in any way. They get slapped down food if they're lucky. So by quote unquote saving that puppy from the pet store window, you're actually keeping the mother and the dad breeding stock in those horrific conditions. Not to mention there is zero consideration for health and zero consideration for temperament in terms of the breeding stock at those puppy mills. So that is it. We have talked about how you can make an appropriate pet selection. You are off to the races. I'm excited for you. I hope you'll take the time to really consider the lifestyle of your family, the budget that you have, the time that you have, and the individuals in your household before expanding in the pet way. So until next time, we will see you. Warm woofs and wags from the family pet at Pet Life Radio. Bye-bye.
Let's Talk Pets. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.